Scripture reading this morning will come from John 15, verses 1 through 3. That's John 15, 1 through 3. And it reads, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word, and I have spoken unto you.
Jesus has said, I am he. He also said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. And each time that Jesus said, I am, he was saying that I am Jehovah, Lord, Yahweh, I am God. This morning we're going to hear him say, I am the vine. That we are the branches and that the Father is the gardener. The setting that we will look into is sometimes called the upper room discourse. It began with the Passover supper. While Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and it continued on through chapter 17, ending as they crossed the Kidron Valley into the Garden of Gethsemane. This morning, we're going to focus on just the first 17 verses of John 15. Our lesson will center around understanding Israel as God's vine. Jesus as the true vine. We as branches. God as the gardener and the fruit that God expects of us. We examine the vine, the vineyard. Vineyards were scattered across the Middle East. Often they were in places where they would not be expected. Some would be in courtyards, some along the roads or the paths. Some would be across some barren landscape that would extend out for hundreds of yards. The grapes or wine that was produced for them in those days was water purification. But it was also a primary source of hydration where water was lacking. The practice of viticulture was the essential part of Israel's economy. It goes all the way back to Noah, who grew grapes, who made wine, and the vine also became the national symbol for Israel, just as the eagle is our national symbol. But Israel was also God's vine religiously. In Psalms, chapter 80, verses 8 through 15. If you'll follow along, Psalms 80, verses 8 through 15, David writes here, you brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and you planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea, and it shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down the walls, so that all who passes along the way pluck its fruit? The boar of the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. Return to us, Almighty God. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine your right hand has planted, for the Son whom you made strong for yourself. You know, history is a great thing to see where we are coming and where we've been. David starts us off with Psalm 80, but this is what is written years later in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And as to read this, focus on how many things God did to help Israel. How he helped his become his people, his vine. Isaiah writes, I will sing a song about God and his vineyard. He dug it up. He cleared the stones. He planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower over it, and he also cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for the crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard than I have already done for it? The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel. The men of Judah are the garden of his delight. He looked for justice but saw bloodshed. He looked for righteousness but heard cries of distress. And now Jeremiah 2 and verse 21. I planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine? During the time of the Maccabees in Israelite history, Israeli coins had a vine minted on those coins. In the time of Christ, when Herod rebuilt the temple, it was replete with this huge vine that was covered in pure gold. Josephus, the Israelite historian, tells us that this vine, this branch, this clusters of grapes were as tall as a man, that it had spread out from the highest point on the temple. And it was highly likely that as Jesus and his disciples were heading towards that upper room, that they might have passed this temple and saw that vine and those grapes up on that temple, which may have been one of the thoughts that Jesus thought of to send to his disciples. But here's what all of this means. Israel failed in its role as God's vine. As the prophet said, they had become a degenerate and wild vine. They produced sin instead of the righteous of God. Idolatry replaced heartfelt religion and worship, and life degenerated to bloodshed instead of justice. How we cannot see that same condition in our own nation today. How can we not see it? What God wanted, what he intended, was for Israel to be what Jesus became. Instead of producing sin, Jesus became the righteousness of God, one who was without sin. Instead of idolatry, Jesus worshiped God in all that he did, and he was perfect and kept that law perfect. Jesus' life, when you read all four gospel accounts, was about love and justice, not hate and bloodshed. As God's vine, Israel produced wild fruit, sin, hate, injustice, idolatry, and bloodshed. In writing about Christ, Paul in Romans 5:17 said, "For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." The other one man, of course, was Adam. We are God's intended Israel when we become like Christ. When we take on his thinking, his disposition, his behavior. How do we become like him? We do that by allowing the vine and the gardener to do their work in us. We must submit to the gardener's pruning. And Jesus, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. My Father is the gardener, the vine dresser. And as the gardener, God does two things. The first one is pruning. He cuts off the dead branches that do not bear fruit. He bundles them up, and then they are burned. The pruning cleanses the vine. It allows each fruit-bearing branch to produce more fruit. The first branch that was cut off was Judas. Can you imagine being with Christ for 3 years, witnessing everything that he saw, the miracles, all the lessons of life, being able to have certain gifts that he was able to use, and then become unfruitful, unproductive. The vine dresser looks for any shoots that didn't bear fruit the last season. This shoot might have been diseased, it might have been damaged or abused in some way. He cuts it off so that the nutrients and the energy of the plant is not wasted on an unfruitful branch. Even today, anyone who rebels against Christ as God in the flesh must be considered as a dead branch. But not only do vine dressers remove dead and diseased branches, he also gets to the exacting work of pruning each branch, each shoot, so that it will yield the maximum fruit production. Sometimes it might be something as simple as lifting a branch out of the mud, cleaning it off, and then tying it up so that it will receive the light and the nutrients and not mold or rot away. Sometimes the extra shoots are pinched off. These are known as suckers. They produce leaves, but they do not produce any fruit. So they are trimmed back so that the grape clusters receive the nutrients and not the leaves. It is this kind of pruning that is the subject of several New Testament scriptures. James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. James, he writes here, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, in this greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, honor, when Jesus Christ is revealed. Then Paul writes in Hebrews 12 and verses 5 through 7, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. He punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? We are pruned so that we can become spiritually healthy. You know, God may see us spending our time, our talent, our treasure, and our energy on things that are robbing us of kingdom fruit production. If we look at our lives and on a daily basis, how many of these little suckers that are robbing us of our spiritual nutrients are prevalent in our lives? We need to allow God to prune us. But my friends, it's not only just us that need to be pruned. Sometimes even the church as a congregation needs to be pruned. Things that keep us from doing the kingdom's work. You know, sometimes as a church, we become focused on the wrong things, or maybe place too much emphasis on those things. They may not be wrong, but too much emphasis. Technology, budgets, other things that are far less important than being busy for the kingdom. You know, it's great that we have a nice place to worship, and things here are very helpful in that worship, but sometimes maybe too much effort is placed on these things. The one thing that helps us in our fruit production is something that we can do, and that is staying attached to the vine. In other words, abiding in Him so that He can remain in us. In John 15 and verses 4 and 5, it says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Friends, we were created to become significant, not to just be another face in the crowd. We were made to be fruitful. But here is a truth I believe with all my heart that all of us face at one time or another. Being spiritually fruitful produces a lot of stress. We strive to make something of ourselves. It can become stressful. But the thing is that this metaphor of the vine is not about striving. It is about remaining or abiding. The word remain, or in some versions of the Bible it says abide, it appears 10 times in these 12 verses. And that is significant. That's what Jesus is getting the point to his disciples. Stay in Him. This word, this Greek word, mone, that is used to translate this, speaks about a living space, a home. Jesus uses this same room in John 14 where He talks about the mansions or the rooms in God's house. If we stay attached to the vine, every bit of the nutrients from that vine will flow through to us as the branches. It allows for us to get our strength. No wonder that Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." We stay attached to the vine by abiding in his words, which translates to the truth. And walking in his ways keeps us attached to the vine. This brings us to our final point this morning, fruit bearing. The fruit that God desires in us is not just coming to church on Sunday or Wednesday. And I hope that the only difference between us and the world is not where our car is parked on Sunday morning. John the Baptist said that the good fruit God was looking for was repentance, a changed lifestyle. That's why he was so hard on the Pharisees, called them broods of vipers. They weren't looking to change, looking for acceptance. Paul insisted that God created us and called us to good works that God has set before us. In the book of Philippians, our fruit is to conform to the image of Christ by having his heart, his disposition, and his behavior. And if Jesus lives in us through the Spirit that he gave us, our daily walk will produce the fruit of the Spirit that Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 speaks of. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruit. Fruit. So the invitation this morning, the challenge this morning, is to become attached to the vine. This is done by putting on Christ. As Paul writes in Galatians 3 and verse 27, for as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That is becoming and being attached to the vine. What do we all need this morning? To be attached to the vine. And all of the blessings that come with it. You are attached to the vine, but you are in danger of being plucked from the vine because of something in your life that is causing danger to the rest of the vine and the branch. The blood that you were symbolically washed in through baptism will be able to cleanse of that sin. But if your desire this morning is to be attached to that vine, or even to have the past washed of sins washed away, we want to give you the opportunity. The decision needs to be made today before it is too late. If we can assist in any, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.